All right, well, good morning. It's great to see everybody. I just appreciate you spending part of your Easter weekend with us. And if you're visiting with us for the very first time here at Grace, we're just glad you're here. Grace Christian, can we go and welcome all of our visitors? This year, I'm going to have my 20th year class reunion. And there's probably nothing that makes me feel older than just saying that out loud, that I've been out of high school for 20 years now. And I'm a little anxious about seeing some people that I haven't seen since high school because a lot changes in that amount of time. You know, we've had kids, we've gotten married, there's been some weight that's been gained, there's some hair that's been lost. You know, it's just a lot changes in 20 years. A little anxious about that. In fact, just a couple of years ago, I ran into a guy that I played high school basketball with. His name was Patterson. And in high school, we just called him Big P. Big P is the only guy I've ever known that's been able to fit an entire McDonald's double cheeseburger in his mouth at one time. Just a God-given gift that God gave him, you know. I saw Big P drink a full can of Mountain Dew in less than 10 seconds. And one morning, I witnessed him eat an entire Little Caesars pizza for breakfast. Like, that's just Big P. And so, I hadn't seen him in 18 years. I ran into him. I was kind of concerned, like, you know, what had happened to him. There's just not a great job market for his skill set. And so I was a little concerned. I thought maybe he didn't have a job. Maybe he's homeless. But I saw him, and he looked sharp. He was clean cut and shape. And so I said, what are you doing now, Patterson? He said, well, I'm working for Microsoft in Thailand. And I thought, what? Like, I did not see that coming at all. I ended up talking to him a little bit more. Found out the guy makes about $500,000 a year. Like, just complete unexpected, you know, as he's telling me that. But as he's telling me, there's also a part of me that's wondering, like, is there ever a moment when he's out with some executives or some business associates, does he ever do the double cheeseburger trick? I just wonder if that's a part of his sales pitch, you know? I can't believe, like, it blows me away that Bill Gates gives him $500,000 a year. Just blows my mind. Complete plot twist. That's what a plot twist is. It's a surprise ending, something unexpected. A story is going in one direction, and then out of nowhere, it goes in a complete different direction. Now, I love plot twists. I love watching movies with plot twists. I think we would all agree about that. But my one rule about plot twists in a movie is the plot twist can't be aliens. Like, you're just being lazy as a writer. You know, you're watching a movie and there's all this chaos and loose ends. And you're wondering, like, how are they going to bring this together? What could have caused this? And then it's aliens. I'm like, well, that's the easy way out. That's not even trying as a writer, but a great plot twist. Some of y'all remember the movie Sixth Sense? Remember, some of y'all have seen that. If you haven't seen it, I've given you 18 years to see it. Spoiler alert, he was dead the whole movie. Like, that just didn't see that coming at all. That is a great plot twist, right? You know, like, sometimes in our lives, we need plot twists. We look at how our story is going. We look at the story that we're writing with our lives, and we realize, like, I don't like who I'm becoming. I don't like the story that I'm writing with my life. I don't like the direction that my family is headed. I need a plot twist. I think sometimes we've added some chapters to our lives that we wish weren't there. We'd love to go back and edit those or delete those. And we say, like, I need a plot twist. That's why here at Grace, we say we're all about helping ordinary lives become extraordinary stories. We just don't think God created ordinary people, but sometimes we choose to live ordinary lives. But then Jesus shows up and he said, hey, I want to let you know why I'm here. In John 10:10, he said, I came so that you can have life. Not just life, but life to its fullest. Jesus shows up and says, the reason why I came is so that you can live out the story that God wants to write in your life. And deep down, I think that's what we all want. We just want our lives to count. We want to do something that matters. We want to make sure that our time here on earth is full of meaning and purpose, that we live lives of risk and adventure, that we write the story that God wants to write in our lives. And maybe we look at our lives today and we think, but that's not the story I'm telling. My life feels pretty ordinary. It feels pretty plain. I can't remember the last time I've done anything that gave me this sense of meaning and purpose. When we look at our own stories, we don't even like the direction it's headed. And we would say, I think I need a plot twist. I need a change in direction in my story. You know, this weekend we're celebrating the biggest plot twist in human history, a sudden change in a story that changed everything for us. A little over 2,000 years ago, this religious teacher named Jesus shows up. And Jesus is different than any other religious teacher or leader. He acted different. He treated people different. Even the way he spoke, he had this authority and boldness in the way he spoke, but at the same time, he possessed this humility that no one else had. Jesus had this odd ability to attract all different types of people. The religious leaders, the religious elite, they wanted to be around him to hear his take on the scripture. They were oddly attracted to him, as well as people who were on the fringe of society, people who we might say are outcasts, people who are far away from God. They had this odd attraction to Jesus. They felt comfortable around him. They felt welcomed around him. And on top of that, Jesus had this ability to perform miracles, heal the sick. Just think about it. People who are blind all of a sudden are able to see. People who are deaf can hear. People who are dead are coming back alive again. So Jesus is traveling from village to village, and you can imagine the crowds keep getting larger and larger. People wanted to see what he was going to do next. It says this in John chapter 6 about these crowds that were growing, a great crowd of people. They followed him everywhere because they saw the signs that he had performed by healing the sick. So he's traveling from village to village, and people wanted to be around him. Crowds kept getting large. There's more and more momentum. And people started asking the question, could he be the one? Do you think he's the one that we've been waiting for? For generations, they had been waiting for the Messiah. They'd been waiting for the one who would come that would change everything. They expected him to be a great military leader, a great political leader. And when he showed up, he would establish his kingdom and reestablish them as a great nation. And people begin to wonder, is he the one? Do you think he's the one that we've been waiting for? And in just 3 years into his teaching career, the story hits a climax. Jesus is entering Jerusalem, the capital city, on a donkey during Passover week, the biggest celebration on the Jewish calendar. And so Jesus is approaching the city and the crowd comes out to greet him. And it's in this moment that everyone concedes, you're the one. You're the one that we've been waiting for. And it reads like this in John chapter 12, verse 13. They came out and met him and they took palm branches and they went out shouting, Hosanna, just like our word for like hooray. They were excited. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. The crowd says, we believe you're the one we've been waiting for, the one that's going to change everything. We got to be a part of history today. We got to be here in this moment when your people recognized you as the Messiah. Our parents told us about this. Our grandparents told us about this. And we're here in this moment and we believe you're the one. And then 5 days later, Jesus is dead. Been tortured and executed, and his followers are confused. They're heartbroken. This is not at all how they saw this story coming to an end. They assumed that he was the one that was going to change everything, and now he's dead. This can't be. They found themselves discouraged and heartbroken and scared. You ever have those moments in life when your story doesn't turn out like you thought it would? It goes in a completely different direction. I know I've had moments like that. When we found out our son, Trust, would spend his entire life in a wheelchair, and he would never see or speak or walk. It's one of those moments I thought, this can't be happening to us. This can't be my son. I'm supposed to play basketball with my son and play golf with my son. This can't be my story. It just didn't feel real. It was like a surreal moment. This can't be my story. I have a friend whose marriage is about to come to an end. And when I talk to them, that's what they say. It doesn't feel real. This can't be my marriage. This can't be my family. This isn't happening to me. This is not at all how I saw my story going. I have a friend whose mother has been diagnosed with cancer. In fact, just this past week, they got more discouraging news that she's just in the last few days of her life. And as I'm talking with him, he just said, it doesn't seem real. This can't be my mom. She's not dying this young. This can't be happening to me and my family. That's how the disciples felt. This can't be real. This is not how this story was supposed to go. We saw it much different than this. In fact, when Jesus was arrested and tortured and executed, all of his followers, they ran and hid as they were scared. It says this in Mark 14, verse 50. then everyone deserted him and fled. Their hopes were crushed. They didn't know where to turn. This is not how they saw the story going. And so they went and they hid in fear and disappointment. This past week, I took my family on a road trip. You know, I don't enjoy going to the beach. Like after about 30 minutes or so, my skin starts crawling. I got to find something to do. And so I begged my wife, Brittany. I said, can we just take a road trip as a family? You know, and so we planned this out. We were going to go up through Chicago and Milwaukee and over to Minneapolis and down through Iowa. 6 days, 5 nights, stay off the interstate as much as possible. Just see small towns in the U.S. And you know, I just pictured this beautiful memory that we would create with each other, all of us in the van, singing songs together and telling stories. It's going to be this moment that we would never forget, but it didn't really turn out like that. You know, the majority of the time, the kids were either arguing or they had their tablets out watching Netflix. And Brittany's rolled over on her side, either on her phone or asleep, and we're going through these small towns and no one else was paying attention but me. And I'm thinking like, this is not at all how I saw this trip going. Along the way, I found all these little odd attractions that I wanted to see in these small towns. Like, there's this place in the small town in Wisconsin where a boulder rolled down a mountain about 30 years ago and rolled into a house. I think I got a picture of us there at this house. Now, they creatively named this attraction Rock in the House. So if you ever want to go see it, that's what you have to look up. And so we're driving on this back road in Wisconsin. I pull up into the driveway. You know, the kids are watching their tablets. They look up. Child says, Dad, what are we doing? I said, you all won't believe this. 30 years ago, a rock rolled down this hill, and in this house, we get to go see it. Come on, everybody. And Jabba, oh, gosh, Dad. You know, she's putting on her shoes, and Brittany's kind of gathering herself. Jude, my son who's 4, he barely even takes off his headphones. Dad, what are we doing? I was like, Jude, rock in the house. There's a lot of families that can go see Disney World. We're the only person here. This is us to ourselves. Rock in the house, Jude. And Jude says, Dad, do I have to? I'm watching Power Rangers. 2.5 years ago, the kid was in an orphanage in Uganda, and now he can't even take off his headphones to go see Rock in the House, you know? Didn't go at all like I thought it would. You know, I kind of had a different picture in my mind of how that story was going to go. And the disciples, they feel the same way. This is not at all how we saw the story going. We thought he was going to change everything, and now he's dead. But the great news is the story doesn't end there. Just 3 days later, two of Jesus' followers, two ladies, went to go visit his tomb and pay respects to him. And while they were there, they recognized that the stone had been rolled away. They were confused by that, so they went and looked inside the tomb. The body of Christ wasn't there, so they naturally assume someone has stolen the body of Christ. Then out of nowhere, Jesus just walks up, and they can't believe what they see. They have a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus tells them, hey, go tell everyone that I'm alive. Go find my followers and tell them that I'm back. And so they run off to go tell the followers of Christ, and this is how the story goes in Mark 16, verse 11. It says, when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. There's no way. We did not see this coming at all. But this is the event. This is the event that changes everything for them and for us. Because if Jesus doesn't come out of the tomb, then he's just another religious leader. He's just another teacher. There's been a lot of great religious teachers throughout the years. In fact, there's been a lot of religious teachers who have been killed or martyred for their teachings. Jesus would have just been on that list. But when he came out of the grave, what he's saying to us is, I am who I said I was. I'm the Son of God. And everything changed in this moment. And this is really what we have to wrestle with. Do you believe that Jesus came out of the grave? Because if you believe that, then it changes everything. Then you have to believe that Jesus can change your story. That he can interject himself into the story of your life and change everything. We have to believe that. Some of us will look at our own stories right now and say, and I don't like my story. I don't like who I've become. I don't like how I treat people. I don't like what's going on with my family. This is not at all how I saw this going. And Jesus would say, but all that can change by just surrendering over the leadership of your life to him. Romans chapter 5 says, you see, at just the right time, like the perfect moment in our story when we were still powerless, when it seemed like there was only one direction we could go. And this is just who we would always be, and we'll never be able to change it. Just the right time while we were powerless. Christ died for the ungodly and changed everything. And I'm sure some of us, we look at our lives and feel like, I can't see anything changing. I'll always be this way. I'll always struggle with this. My family will always be like, this is just how my marriage is going to be. Everything can change in a moment. We just surrender it over to Christ. This church is full of people who would say that their story is, I can't believe. I didn't even see it coming. There was such a plot twist in my life when Christ invaded my life. I can't even believe how much I've changed. I can't believe God rescued me. I can't believe God changed me. I can't believe God set me free from that addiction. I can't believe God healed me. I can't believe God put my family together. I can't believe that God carried me through that painful season of life. I can't believe how good God has been to me. Everything can change in a moment. So I want you to think about your story. I want you to think about your life. How are you doing at writing the story of your life? Are you still leading, or have you turned that over to Christ? Everything can change in a moment. Can we take a moment, just bow our head and close our eyes and have a little time of self-reflection? I want you to think about your life. Think about your story. Are you experiencing the life that Jesus came for you to experience? Life to its fullest, a life of meaning and purpose. Are you still trying to lead? Maybe today you need a plot twist. Jesus, we just invite you to encourage those who are discouraged, to give hope to those who are hopeless. Show your love and grace to those who feel guilt and shame. God, in this moment, would you remind us that everything can change in a moment? We just invite you to lead and direct. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.